This week was not as good as last week in terms of wrestling, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think
SmackDown was
probably saw one of the
SmackDown was clapped. I mean, and
one of the worst SmackDowns I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and I was kind of rushing to watch it, but thank God there was your article on 1306sports.com, so I could really gauge what was the good and the bad of SmackDown.
Yeah. And when I write these articles, I want you to have an opinion of your own. Like, when I write this, this is what I think about it.
Yeah.
But if you think that that episode of SmackDown was great, all power to you, man. All power to you. But that how I saw it, I just didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, from what I saw, you nailed it. And with that, welcome to episode 2 of 1306 Live. I am your host, Andrew Gabriel, here joined by my lovely co-host, Jaden Becker. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. Another day in quarantine, coming to the end here in New York, so...
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, hopefully to the end.
Congratulations,
so,
we're pushing daily along. Death toll has, your daily death toll has gone below 100 for the first time since March. Well done, you. Still.
Yeah, I think that New York has done a pretty good job of keeping the social distancing intact and all stuff like that, and it's going to get a little tougher now since the Mr. Softy ice cream trucks are coming around, and, you know, social distancing might be a little tough there, but... Hey, as long as everyone's doing their part,
yeah,
I think we'll be okay.
Things are still pretty shit down here in the swamplands of the D.C. area, but we do what we can. All right, Jaden, are you ready for the results of the first ever Gimmick Hall of Fame vote? It was on Twitter.
I'm ready.
At 1306sports. I'm very excited. Your winner by a vote of, I don't have the numbers, by a vote of more to less, R-Truth wins over Doink the Clown. Well done.
Yes! Yes!
Well done.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame, R-Truth. People over there, what's up? If you hear me, stand up and say what's up. What's up?
What's up?
All right, you got it. Come on, you got to get into it. He made it to the Hall of Fame, man. Come on.
All right. What's up?
There you go. That's what I want to
I'm
hear.
I'm enthused. I'm enthused now. You have me enthused. Pretty Ricky will be loving this segment. All right, let's jump into it. Raw. Do you want to say your note first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Go for it.
I'm gonna go with this Raw had a lot of stuff jam packed into it, and I thought it was a very good Raw myself. Not better than the Raw we saw the week before, obviously with Becky Lynch and her big announcement.
That.
Very difficult to top that, but they definitely did a good job, and they pushed the issue with it too. Oh, I'm gonna say the return of Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews. These are two big names that you sort of need on the roster in times like this, especially when you have AJ Styles jumping ship over to SmackDown. So when you bring in back these names and you got Kevin Owens here and Apollo Crews, it just adds more depth to the roster. I would love to see more from Kevin Owens going forward. Before Kevin Owens had his match at Mania, there wasn't really a lot of depth to his character, you know? Like, he was just a guy that was just there to fight. And for me, personally, I would like to see more from him. I would like to see more motive, if you will. Like, something that... Like, tell me why you're fighting. Not just because you love to fight. Why are you fighting this person, you know? That's what we saw with him and Seth Rollins. Like, yeah, I want my WrestleMania moment. And he got his WrestleMania moment.
For sure.
So Kevin Owens, great on him. And I love to see him back. And same thing with Cruz. He's going to have a match against Andrade in the next Raw for the United States Championship. And, hey, you never know. He might take it with the rate that he has been pushed. So... glad to see both of them back.
Yeah, I absolutely hate that it took this whole circumstance for them to push Apollo Crews this much. He's always been this good. Like, he has never not been insanely good at professional wrestling. Maybe the promo work wasn't there, but by God, in the ring. Jeez. Big fan of Apollo Crews, and I hope he finally freaking gets his. Kevin Owens, one of my favorite guys out there. I've always loved what he does, and yeah, when his character has, like, a motive, for example, when he first showed up to NXT, and he wanted to exact revenge on Sami Zayn for, I guess, it was his friend, and he had the championship, and since Kevin Owens is a mean guy, he wants to take it from him, but it was just so good to see Kevin Owens, like, kicking the shit out of people with an actual purpose, rather than just kinda kicking the shit out of people, and I love the whole... You know, fight Owens fight, almost a Steve Austin, like, just, I'm gonna go in and beat people up because that's the bottom line, because Kevin Owens said so. But I do like, I would like to see more of, as you said, the kind of stuff with Seth Rollins where Kevin Owens is really going in with a purpose.
And I would like to see him use a different finisher. I don't like when he uses the stunner. I feel like the stunner is just so synonymous with Austin. It's just like, as if, let's say Owens started doing the tombstone piledriver. Like it's so synonymous with a certain person that I feel that it doesn't serve Kevin Owens right. You know, like every time I see him do a stunner, I automatically think of Austin. I'm not thinking of Kevin Owens, right? Kevin Owens is so good that I want to think when he does a finishing move, like, yeah, that's his move.
There was nothing wrong with the pop-up power bomb. There was nothing.
Exactly. I love the pop-up. I think if he keeps on going with that, you know, yeah, I think he'll be fine. And I love when he does that. That's a perfect move, you know?
Yeah. It's that brutality. It's that, like, it is literally lifting a guy up and just yeeting him onto the floor, for a lack of a better term.
Yeah.
My note is, and this isn't quite as positive, it's the build, not the match itself, but the build for Edge versus Randy Orton in what is being touted to be, and I'm not kidding, I'm not joking, the greatest wrestling match of all time, question mark? I mean,
well, for them, it's an exclamation point over there.
You know, look, I must be misreading things. I just see what I want to see. And what I see is a, like, just Big Show size question mark. It's absolutely horrendous the way, if you don't have to do this, it's going to be the greatest wrestling match of all time thing. You don't have to do that. People are going to be excited to see Edge versus Orton in a wrestling match, especially after Randy said, hey, you haven't really actually wrestled. This is going to be good. They had me. They had me there. They really did. I was prepared to be like, oh man, this is going to be a pretty good match. I'm ready to see Edge actually wrestle again. And then Charlie fucking Caruso. Because Charlie
Caruso... It's not her fault.
I just want to add that Charlie Caruso is the only backstage personality I've ever seen body up to wrestlers. I call her Big Dick Chuck for a reason, bro. She is out here just like, yo, Nia, Nia Jax, yo, why are you so trash? You were really shit in your match. And then Nia's just like, what did you just say to me? But, Orton challenges Edge. Edge is there. And Charlie Caruso, it could have been anybody, but for reasons that I could never comprehend, gets into the microphone and says, this is going to be the greatest wrestling match of all time. And I was like, damn it! You ruined it! It was there! You had it! It was so fine until you made it unfine. I'm excited.
It's not Charlie's fault. You can't blame Charlie. You can't blame Charlie because you know this is obviously marketing. You know they're trying to push and they obviously like, they would. They're feeding those words to her. No, I know. So you can't blame her. She is just the face of the issue, right?
I'm not blaming Charlie Caruso.
Yeah.
I did introduce this as upset with the build. I'm not upset with Charlie Caruso. It could have been anybody. It just happens to be Big Dick Chuck.
But either way. No, like, even if this builder wasn't built as the greatest match of all time, I don't see this possibly being the greatest match of all time. Maybe if they were in their primes, you know, WrestleMania 24, 25, 26, when, you know, they're putting on big, big matches, you know. And, maybe you wouldn't call that their primes. I would, because that's, I think, when they were there at their peak of success, right? You know, they're headlining WrestleManias, talent-wise, they're finally out of that. They're finally cut away from what they originally were, right? Both Edge and Orton, you know, from being like those sex figures, or Orton being from the Legend Killer, right? Or they both cut away from that, from their original gimmick per se, and now we're into their full, like, super, super, superstar personality, right? So now having them have a match at either 24, 25, 26, you know, that could have been one of the greatest matches of all time.
Yeah.
Not now when they're both gray and old and in their 40s or whatever, right? Not saying 40 is old, but for a wrestler, it's pretty old.
It's definitely past their wrestling prime.
I'm excited because we lived through their careers, you know? Like, we've watched them go from the bottom of the barrel to super, super, superstar, right? We've lived through it. And now finally see them have this match. It's going to be great, but I kind of wish it was earlier.
Yeah. Do you know what I want to see from Randy Orton? And this is so easy. This is so easy. You know how in the beginning of his career, he was the legend killer? At the end of his career, make him the killer legend. I mean, come on. You want to talk about...
So, a legend that squashes new talent?
No, he doesn't have to squash new talent, but he can, you know, that aggressive character, he can be that just constantly on the offense guy that he was before, and... It would be a really good thing for the end of his run. It would make him go out on a high if they gave him like a killer legend gimmick.
He's still gonna wrestle for years to come. I don't think he's anywhere close to being done.
Because he's not bad.
Edge, I think he's not bad, and he's still in great shape. Same thing with Edge. He's still in great shape. I think he signed a 3-year deal going into WrestleMania, so he's gonna be here for a while. Really? I'm pretty sure, fact check me on that, but I think he signed a pretty long deal with the WWE to wrestle. Yeah. So I think he's going to be here to, they're both going to finish their runs. Edge sooner than Orton. Orton has, I think, a long way to go, but Edge obviously with his injuries. But I still say I wish I saw it earlier.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, apparently there are multiple sources that say Edge signed a 3-year deal with the WWE. Holy crap.
Yeah. If I could add one more thing, to Monday Night Raw, we saw obviously the allegiance of a new disciple into Seth Rollins' little crew.
Rest in peace, Zelina Vega and her three sexy men.
No, I do not say that. I think they're going to keep on going. Maybe they can't call
it's
three sexy men.
It's
going to
be two sexy men
no more,
now,
but
I like the three sexy men.
But,
don't clip that out of context.
It was perfect booking, at least how I see it. Some people might be a little upset, but this theory wasn't supposed to be with Vega or Andrade or Garza at all. The only reason he was there because Andrade was out with, I think it was, one, he was hurt with the injury, and then two, he had to get put away off the show for the wellness policy, right? He was gone for 30 days with the title. So theory wasn't supposed to be there at all, right? So now he was stuck there with a Hispanic-themed gimmick group, right? And he's not Hispanic.
No, he's
so
not.
It was sort of weird. It was weird. So now they got him out of there and then still kept him as a credible threat by putting him with Seth Rollins and Murphy. So it's perfect. Yeah. You got a guy that you want to use, right? So like they 100% want to use Austin Theory. And he's great. You know, he's been doing his stuff. You know, I haven't really heard him much on the mic, but, you know, he's been in the ring. He's been awesome. At least how I see. He's been awesome.
Absolutely.
Right? So now you want to keep on using him. They put the tag of approval by putting him with Seth Rollins and Murphy.
Absolutely.
You know, so they took him from a bad situation where he didn't belong and now puts him into a situation where he could belong. So perfect, perfect, perfect. I would love to see where this goes. There's, what's it called? Now, this also builds the tag team depth in Raw that's been lacking hard because obviously we could see Murphy and Theory teaming up and we could see Andrade and Garza teaming up and in a tag team division that needs it so much on Monday Night Raw. SmackDown's been fine. On Raw, it needs it so, so much. So now they're building all these things up with one move. Perfect.
Yep, I'm ready for the sexy men feud. Zelina Vega and her two sexy men versus Seth Rollins and his two sexy men. I also thought it was funny when Theory joined Rollins and Murphy looks kind of distraught to me. I was looking at his face and he was like, I don't know if I'm really about this. So maybe I interpreted that wrong. There seemed to be a little bit of...
I did see that too.
So maybe that means something.
I don't know. They could go that route with it. They could go that route with it. I really hope they don't. This could be perfect for Rollins. You know, this could be the evolution for Rollins, you know? Like how Triple H had his revolution. So this could be the revolution, evolution for Rollins.
Nice.
So I think that could work really, really well with him.
Yeah, and to see our full opinion, or Jaden's full opinion, on last week's, or this week's, the last episode of Monday Night Raw, check his article out on 1306sports.com. Next, NXT. We're going to get to AEW a little bit later, because the whole Double or Nothing thing happened. You know, a little bit of a thing that may have flown under the radar. Not. But we're going to start with NXT. My notes here, we've talked about a lot of other things. I want to talk about the Cruiserweight Championship Tournament. I could not honestly sit here and tell you that I could have foreseen Drake Maverick actually beating Kushida. I know last week I said I wanted it to happen. I, in my mind, thought there was no way in hell it was going to happen. And the ending was pretty, it was really something. I enjoyed how that match ended, because obviously Kushida's the more dominant wrestler, so Kushida's on the top rope, and he, I guess, drops Drake Maverick, and somehow it ends up in the armbar, or some kind of armbar, and then Maverick rolls him up and pins him, and I was sitting on my couch, just with my hands over my head, my mouth wide open, like, holy shit, Drake Maverick's gonna wrestle for WWE again. I'm so excited, because I love the combination of Maverick Kushida and Jake Atlas. Jake Atlas, I've not followed, but I've known about for a while. I'm not too well-versed in Jake Atlas's career, but I'm definitely a little bit familiar with him, and he's very sound in the ring. Very, very sound in the ring. If anyone listening or you didn't have actually watched him wrestle frequently, a few matches, he's definitely got everything in ring, and he's got a pretty cool character as well. Very bright, very flamboyant. I like it a lot. So I like this next week, Atlas versus Maverick versus Kushida for a spot in the finals in the NXT Cruiserweight Championship Tournament. I think that's really awesome. I think I'm really looking forward to that combination of the three of them. I think they're going to be doing some creative stuff, because Jake Atlas is relatively new to this whole thing. Definitely more so than Maverick and Kushida. Atlas has been around, but he's not quite as much as big rock star Spud and Kushida. So I think those two, Kushida and Maverick, with the experience they have, will be very imperative toward making next week's triple threat match really good. And then you just have Atlas, who can fly around, do whatever. He brings a energy to the ring that not a whole lot of people do. So I will definitely have my eye on Atlas, Maverick, and Kushida. I would have my eye on that match anyway, even if there wasn't a Cruiserweight Championship involved. I would be like, holy shit, Drake Maverick, Jake Atlas, and Kushida? Wow. And then on the other side of the bracket, the only finalist we actually know of, Hijo del Fantasma. Again, not somebody I'm completely unfamiliar with. Just, I watched his match, what was it, with Tozawa? It was alright? I didn't love it, but it was good. I know I've heard a lot of really good things about him, and I'm hoping he can come out and put in a performance in the finals of the tournament. Do you have an opinion on the NXT Cruiserweight Championship tournament?
Yeah, I'm kind of mad because, you know, not with what's going on in ring, but what has happened outside of the ring and in the public sphere in the past month. I think it's been a month since Black Wednesday.
Really?
Drake Maverick was released.
Wow,
so
it's been a month already?
I think it's close to that. Somewhere. Yeah, coronavirus messes up time. I don't know.
Quarantine does but, weird things to your mental calendar.
Yeah. Listen, is this guy released or is he not? if this is a work where he's not released and you're insulting my judgment, I mean, I'm going to say this a couple times throughout this podcast about the WWE and what they do sometimes,
right?
Is that they insult your judgment and they insult your insult you as a viewer. It's like, listen, you told me this guy is released. And not released in a kayfabe way where it's like, oh, he was fired. And, like, you know, he legitimately was released. And Maverick even came out publicly and said, like, he was released and had the whole video and everything. And not only was he released, but so was, I think, multiple other, not only on-air talent, but, like, off-air talent, producers.
Dude,
and so many big names in the company.
One of the most legendary referees of all time.
Yeah.
No one's talking about it because fucking Rusev Day is gone, which also I'm sad about. Yeah. But holy shit, Mike Chioda? You can't just skip over
Mike Chioda. Not even that. Yeah, and not even that, but the multiple unnamed producers that have families that they need to go back to during this time of pandemic. And it's not like the WWE isn't producing content. You know, like they aren't needed. It's just that they decided, hey, we're going to fire you because our quarter one profits need to look nice. You know, we need to look good for our shareholders, right? So we're going to let go of a chunk of our company, right, for families that need it. So that's all I have to say. But if this is a work, then I'm going to be extremely disappointed in the WWE. Like, how am I supposed to watch your content and watch your product, right, and not feel lied to every day?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Do you have, so
that's all
do you
I
have
to
a
say.
Prediction? For who will win this tournament? Can you predict the winner? First, predict the winner of Atlas, Maverick, and Kushida.
Atlas, Maverick, and Kushida. Not Maverick. I'm gonna pray it's not Maverick. Because, you know, I hate that feeling. I'll give it to Kushida. You know, I like his stuff. And, you know, the Cruiserweight division has been putting on some nice stuff in NXT, and I'm excited to see where it goes forward with them, but I just really just hate being lied to. Especially when in that type of contest.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Kushida as well, because, one, Drake Maverick is not in the company anymore, obviously. Two, I don't think... They'll give it to one. They've already given the final to Hijo del Fantasma. Already given it to him. But I don't think they're going to give it to two guys that are just in the tournament. Like, so they're not going to give it to Atlas, because he wasn't, like, an established guy. And neither was Hijo del Fantasma. So I think, yeah, they're going to give it to Kushida. And then it's going to be Kushida versus Hijo del Fantasma. And who do you give that match to? If it is Kushida versus Hijo del Fantasma, who do you give it to?
Kushida, del Fantasma. I'm going to give it Kushida. I'm going to give it to Kushida again. I think he goes all the way.
I definitely give it to Kushida, too. I don't think they're going to put it on Fantasma just yet. All right, next I have my opinions on Dexter Lumis, who is a guy that has kind of flown under the radar, despite being on WWE's radar for a while. Dexter Lumis, or if you watched TNA in 2014, Sam Shaw, is this guy that is billed from Recluse, Wyoming, which should already give you an idea of how strange he is. Sam Shaw, it's hard for me to call him Dexter Lumis because what a dumb fucking name. I mean, let's not lie to ourselves. Dexter Lumis. Sam Shaw, aka Dexter Lumis, is one of the best actors for the, like, dead inside creepy boy gimmick. He's not just your average spooky boy, alright? This isn't Bray Wyatt. This isn't Undertaker. This is a real person from Recluse, Wyoming that is dead inside and likes to wrestle because wrestling. So, he had a match this week with Roderick Strong, and the entire time he was doing the thing where he sits there and is dead inside. It's kind of like, imagine, maybe not too many people would remember this, depending who's listening. In Baron Corbin's debut series of matches in NXT, he had this thing where he would beat the hell out of his opponents, and his expression would never change. He would just punch them, beat them down, hit the end of days, pin them, without breaking a sweat, cracking a smile, frowning. His eyes would be the same the whole time. So that's Dexter Lumis, except Dexter Lumis is actually in a headlock and taking a backbreaker from Roderick Strong. I personally love the Sam Shaw Dexter Lumis gimmick. I think there's a place in wrestling for it, and I think Sam Shaw / Dexter Lumis pulls it off very, very well. And I'm, again, just looking forward. Hopefully they don't screw him up. I think he would make a very believable North American champion. Have you been exposed to the Lumist one?
Yes, I've watched a little bit of him. I love his attire. You know, he has the black gloves. You know, sometimes he has that black overall, right? And the jeans, right? You know, in a wrestler wrestles in jeans, it can go two ways. You know, it can either be like what's it called? Like a hillbilly type of dealio, or a strongman type. But like, I guess that's sort of the same thing, but it's either goofy or serious, and this one is taken a little bit more serious.
Yeah, his entrance music, too, is so... Mm-hmm. Like, I feel it from the other side of my TV. It has a different feeling to it. It's awesome. I'm a big fan of Dexter Lumis / Sam Shaw. I have been for a while, and hopefully they don't screw him up. Alright, on to the best SmackDown of the... Sorry, wait, I got that wrong. We're on a SmackDown. You go ahead and go first, Jaden.
Oh, where do I start? This is one of the biggest cons lists I've ever had in my article section.
It was sizable.
Wasn't really a lot of pros. There wasn't a lot of pros in this. Okay, I'm going to start with the Intercontinental Championship Tournament. Obviously, we know last week we saw... Who did we see? We see Daniel Bryan beat Drew Gulak, who Drew Gulak is no longer in the company. And we saw Elias beat King Corbin, right? This week, we get to see Shinsuke Nakamura take on AJ Styles, which on paper is like, holy crap.
If you listened last week, Wrestle Kingdom 10. About to blow a fucking gasket thinking about this match. And
I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was that bad. I'll let you talk about it, but we saw that match, and we saw Jeff Hardy take on Sheamus. I'll talk about the Jeff Hardy match against Sheamus. I thought this match was awesome. I thought they did a good job with this match. I had this on my pros list, well, on the short pros list of my article. Because, listen, I don't see this feud going pretty far. Obviously, the build was pretty nice, right? But with no really title involved, I really didn't see this blowing off anywhere else other than SmackDown. But I think they did this perfectly on SmackDown. They had a match that meant something, right? And it was in the first round, so it wasn't really... it took the predictability out of it. Right, so if they had this in the championship, oh, they're probably going to have Hardy win it. But no, they have it in the first round, right? It gets the predictability out the way, right? They also had it main event SmackDown, so it had a big build to it throughout the whole night. And also, they even had a video package for it, which was pretty awesome, too, to see that they have a video package for a main event of SmackDown. So I don't see this going any further, but I thought the build to blow off was perfect. I thought they did an awesome job with this and a great arc. They didn't have it at a pay-per-view. But it didn't need to be at a pay-per-view. It was perfect at where it was on SmackDown. And they even main-evented it. Awesome. Right? On the other side...
You're exactly right.
They saw AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. I had this in my cons list, not because of the match. I thought the match was good. I thought it was a solid match. I thought it was a solid match. I refuse to be disrespected by the WWE. I refuse to be disrespected. I wrote that in the article. And obviously, we take it everything you're watching wrestling with a grain of salt, right? Obviously, it could be hokey sometimes, and it's pro wrestling. It's not real wrestling. It's not, you know? It's not real wrestling. But we take it like that, and that's, we watch it as theater. That's how we're supposed to watch it.
Yes.
I just hate being lied to. I just hate the slap in the face. It's like, oh, AJ Styles was traded to SmackDown for superstars to be named later. Dude, just give me... three superstars that are low to mid-card and, you know, could be, in some world, could be, all right, fine, that could be a trade. Don't BS me. Say like, oh, he's on SmackDown now. Stop it. Stop it. That's a slap in the face of the viewer. And I don't like that. I hated that. I hated that. Same thing with the brand-to-brand invitational. Now they're making up rules. Oh, a superstar can go to another brand for... for four matches, or unless you're dude, just stop it. Stop lying to me. I hate being lied to by a product that I want to enjoy, but you keep on making me not want to enjoy it because you're lying to me.
You know what, Jaden? Sheamus is gonna show up on Raw next Monday, and you're gonna lose your shit. That was the new that he was to be named later. Oh my God!
They traded
AJ Styles for Sheamus. Oh. You're gonna that's gonna happen, and you're gonna be disappointed. You're gonna feel so dumb about what you just said.
I do think I have an idea of how they might do it, because if they're gonna go for person, they might, from the rumor mill and the Twitterverse and the pro sheet and whatever you want to call it, WrestleVotes, whatever, you know, all the credible sources here in our Twitter universe. AJ Styles is supposed to be the replacement for Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns is supposed to be out for a substantial amount of time, right? So what Roman Reigns was maybe booked to do, AJ Styles could replace, because they have a similar star power and, you know, both top guys in the company. AJ Styles is going to be pushed to be one of the top guys, and having him in this tournament is no different, right? So we could see him go all the way and win an Intercontinental Championship, right? We could see Roman Reigns go over to Raw, because Raw needs it, man. Raw has been struggling a little bit, and when time passes... you know, we could have a good shot of seeing Roman Reigns being the person that was to be a superstar to be named later go to Raw. They haven't mentioned his name in God knows how long in the WWE. So even in the segment that they had to open the show, they said, oh, why does Braun Strowman get to face Goldberg? And they didn't even mention who Braun Strowman replaced. So, you know, they're still putting an effort to keep his name out of television. So maybe he's the guy, but that could be way, way down the line. But... if that's the case, then maybe that would change my opinion. But for right now, as I stand and how angry I am...
Nice. Yeah, no, you're definitely...
Nice.
Dude, solid. First and foremost, going back to Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy and how that was a blow-off match, I think they did that, as you said, the right way. And I'm excited for Sheamus versus Michael Cole at SummerSlam. As far as AJ Styles versus...
Oh, no.
As far as AJ Styles versus Shinsuke, again, the whole, oh yeah, he got traded for future considerations. At least just say, like, yeah, he was sold over. That's believable. You could honestly tell me Raw sold AJ Styles, and we'd just be like, it would definitely be more okay.
Yeah. I even think, yeah.
It would be
Watching back on the Ruthless Aggression stuff that they had on WWE Network for a while back, pretty recent, the Ruthless Aggression series that they had, Heyman traded, what's his name, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho for Eddie Guerrero, I think the trade was, right? Dude, sure. That's perfect. Give me something like that. Give me a little, that would be awesome. I would like some type of draft stuff like that. And usually when they have the draft stuff, it's after Mania, you know, it's not really a good time to start be drafting people changing brands during the pandemic. Maybe it could have gotten people's eyes off of, the pandemic, but either way, I don't know, this is the way I'm thinking. Just give me something credible and legitimate that I could look at and be like, okay, that is possible, you know?
Yes.
I just absolutely don't like how this feels like a slap in the face. So that's right. How I see it.
You're right. And I said for SmackDown, I'm really enjoying the Mandy and Sonya storyline. I really like how they're doing that. I really enjoy watching Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville interact with each other. Because together, they're just money. They are. And, of course, I love working man Otis in the mix. But he doesn't actually have to be there. He's got the Money in the Bank contract. He's doing his thing. So I'm excited to see where the Mandy and Sonya storyline goes. Because if they do that right, that could be huge. And, of course, Sonya's going to come out on top. And if she doesn't, something went wrong. Because Sonya Deville is a fantastic wrestler. She's getting a lot better on the mic. And I've just been impressed with her since she started wrestling. I don't have a bad word to say about her. So I hope this storyline gets the push and the attention and the oomph it deserves, I guess. It deserves to be a top storyline as far as non-title storylines go. And if it's that's kind of bullcrap.
Yeah, I hope to see the same thing too, but unfortunately, the person who wrote this story is no longer with the company because of layoff, so there you go. So it can go. I wrote about this a while back. It could go anywhere from here, and so far it has been going well since that person was fired. So maybe she had the whole story written out completely from bookend to bookend, and from start to finish. But who knows? I also like the Mandy Rose ring gear with the denim. Very nice touch. Gets away from the Fire and Desire attire. I know that rhymed.
Ooh, bars.
Yes. But yeah, gets that away from there and pairs her up with Otis. I thought that was awesome. One more thing about SmackDown. My head hurts still. Why is Braun Strowman putting up the title against a tag team? Right? So, in a pay-per-view, from which I remember from when I was a kid, right? Backlash was supposed to, I could be very wrong, but you would know as much as me. Wasn't Backlash a pay-per-view where it would be like a rematch from another major pay-per-view where it's like, oh, like baloney happens, or bullshit happens, so but you're gonna have a rematch, right? Wouldn't it be perfect if Braun Strowman faced not Bray Wyatt, but the Fiend Bray Wyatt?
So the definition of backlash is a strong and adverse reaction by something, right? And yes, it would be a reaction to a very big event like a WrestleMania or a big show.
Yeah, because that's how I remember it being like, oh, they're gonna have a rematch at Backlash
for
WrestleMania.
For a long time, it was after WrestleMania, until it became like Extreme Rules, because it did. So, Backlash, if they're not going to put it after WrestleMania, put it after SummerSlam. I mean, I don't know.
I can see that.
Bring back it doesn't matter what you name the pay-per-view, but if you're going to name it something like Backlash, make it make some damn sense. Oh, the Backlash of Money in the Bank. Wow.
My only way, this wasn't as bad as how angry I was at the AJ Styles stuff. I still am mad at both things, but the only thing I'm thinking is that maybe they're trying to push the greatest match of all time thing so hard that they don't want any other match on the card to compete with it. So they're just going to make all the other cards on all the other matches on the card not as good. Because if they had the Fiend on the card, right, then that could compete with the greatest match of all time, right?
That could not compete or with the another greatest thing, wrestling match of all time, no.
Yeah. Or another thing is that maybe Bray Wyatt, we haven't seen him on TV for a while, maybe he's quarantining, right? I don't think that has come out official yet, but we haven't seen him on TV.
He's quarantining in the Firefly Funhouse?
Yes. we haven't seen him on TV for a while since after. I don't think we've seen him since Money in the Bank. I could be wrong. I don't think we've seen him since.
So maybe
he's just off TV for a while for whatever reason. And they'll have a big match at SummerSlam. But then again, why would he be quarantining if he wants to get his... Like, he should have never got his belt taken off of him at Saudi Arabia. So...
Don't say those words in wrestling. I can't stand. Yeah. When you put wrestling and Saudi Arabia in the same sentence, it makes me upset.
It shouldn't be that way. Because it could be good.
Yeah, yeah. It's these massive shows. I don't hate Saudi Arabia as a whole. If there are any Saudi Arabians listening, I don't hate your country. I just hate the events that WWE puts on in them. So we've just saved face with Saudi Arabia. So, but yeah, SmackDown, bit of a shambles. The Braun Strowman, I think I understand why they call it Backlash, though. If they're you said something that was like, oh yeah, they don't want anything to be bigger than Edge versus Orton. I guess it's the backlash of WrestleMania and their match, because they didn't show up until a few weeks after. So I guess it's that. You could put that.
That's how I remember it. I could be wrong, but.
I mean, that was the last time either of them wrestled, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, everything... Oh, gosh. I'm not going to get back on the Edge Resort build, because Jesus. But, but you know what? It's fine. All right, so shall we move on to the next segment?
Yes, let's do it.
So, for those in the wrestling community living under a rock and have not heard, we lost a fantastic man, a very entertaining superstar in Shad Gaspard. He died in easily one of the most heroic ways I think I've ever heard anybody actually die that isn't some kind of superhero story. And this is, for all intents and purposes, a fucking superhero story. If you didn't hear, him and his son were swimming in Venice Beach, California, and his son is 10, by the way, and his son, I guess, got caught in some kind of current. Either way, he was in a really bad way. I don't know exactly the details, but he was stuck in the water, and then Shad was like, yo, gotta help my son, because that's what you do when you're a sick-ass dad. And so he goes out, and Shad gets trapped in the same current or badness, and so the rescue squad comes out, and Shad tells them, save my son first. They save his son, and then Shad Gaspard got swept away, and I believe his body was found washed up a couple days later. And I saw this and I was like, this guy is genuinely a superhero. What the hell? So I thought for this segment, we would reflect on some of our favorite Shad Gaspard / Crime Time memories. Because that's what you do when somebody absolutely amazing dies. You honor them. Because he is a man that deserves to be honored. So do you have any particular standout Crime Time memories, Jaden?
Yeah, one of the biggest moments that I remember with Shad Gaspard and JTG of Crime Time was when I think it was a Monday Night Raw episode, and the JBL was cutting a promo and John Cena was there, and they just destroyed JBL's limo, and they spray painted it, and I think that was one of the most awesome moments of Shad Gaspard's and JTG's career in the WWE, that they got to be able to do that with Cena. And that moment, even to this day, it sticks out in my mind of something that got me into pro wrestling, of the beating up on that car and ripping off the horns and stuff like that.
Yes, they were so entertaining. After I heard that Shad had died, I went in and I started watching some YouTube compilations of the best of Crime Time to kind of jog my memory of exactly the kind of stuff they did. Because WWE posted a In Memorial Crime Time Best Moments, and I was like, wait, this is kind of shockingly underwhelming, this compilation. Well, it's because most of the stuff they did wasn't really all that PG, and, I don't have to explain that. I don't have to explain that. And so I was looking through, and some of the stuff I remembered while watching were their vignettes when they were first about to start. Do you remember the voice that was like, yo, 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 in their entrance theme? The vignettes for when they were about to debut, it was this funny, like, these, like, training videos, and it was like a reality show. It's like, Shad Gaspard runs up on a white fool kind of thing. And it was really, really funny, very entertaining, and it was, I don't remember exactly what the theme song said, but it was, the vignettes were awesome. And I also was watching a lot of them. I guess their thing was the whole, like, money, money, yeah, yeah, money, money, yeah, yeah. And so I saw, there was a clip where they sold Super Crazy and Eugene numbers in the Royal Rumble. They sold Super Crazy a number. He gave them a few hundred bucks because he had a few hundred bucks on him to buy numbers for the Royal Rumble. And he runs off going crazy. And then Shad and JTG sold Eugene the number one entry into the Royal Rumble because, I guess, and I guess because of Eugene's gimmick, they could pull that off. I don't want to get too into that. But yes, they were able to do that, and that was funny. There was also a segment where, and this took place in a place, I don't remember what the first words were, but it was like the something something plantation in South Carolina. And it was this old folks home with a bunch of white people. And again, this was like the mid-2000s. This could fly on TV back then. I still think it's funny now. Crime Time goes in. It's just a bunch of white people. You know, the old white people. So you can imagine, it's old white people in a place called Something Something Plantation, South Carolina. You can imagine, right, that they may be a little bit more on the racist side than other people. So these elderly white people are there, and the guy that runs the old folks home is like, thanks to somebody at WWE, we've been sent two young men to entertain today. Please welcome Crime Time. And then Shad and JTG walk into the old folks home. I guess this was like a Christmas episode because they start singing these like hood parodies of Christmas songs. And at one point, when they walked in, this one dude grabbed like an oxygen mask. And I was like, holy shit, I miss 2006. It was so funny. It was so, so funny. It would never fly today. It would never fly today, but it was so funny. The point is, Shad and JTG were very entertaining together. They were friends even to the, like, recently. A lot of tag teams sometimes aren't friends after they break up. But I know on the day that Shad was announced as missing, not dead, but missing, JTG posted, I guess it was a text, a picture, a screenshot of, like, their text messages, and it said, like, Shad told him, like, oh yeah, I love you, you're my brother, and it was just really, really sad. And they also had a YouTube channel together that I recently stumbled upon called, like, Crime Time TV or something like that. And just, like, a month ago, they posted a video together. It was some kind of, like, Q&A or whatever. But, yeah, Shad Gaspard, we appreciate you. Rest in peace, you died an absolute hero, and well done to you. Great career, great man. Not much else can be said. Yeah. All right, AEW, we're gonna skip Dynamite. If you want to see what I thought of Dynamite, check 1306sports.com. It's an article called Takeaways, and I capitalized the AEW because I'm a genius. And no, I'm kidding, I'm not. But so we're gonna skip Dynamite and just go to AEW Double or Nothing, which was, I was not able to watch it because, like I said in my article, I don't have $50 to throw at wrestling. However, some of us do. Jaden, what you think?
Hey, this is one of the best things I've seen AEW do in a long. They consistently put out some great stuff. Some stuff was a little hokey for me, especially in the Stadium Stampede match. But you know, overall, I think it was one of the best things AEW has put out.
Yeah. Do you have a particular favorite match? We're not going to run through the whole show because we've run
okay, so
pretty long. But go ahead. Yeah, we run pretty long. Give us your highlights. I have a couple of notes myself, but go ahead and give us some highlights.
Okay, so I'm going to start with what everybody's talking about is that's the Stadium Stampede match, right? Yeah. What a great... If you were to go up to somebody, right, and someone asks you, hey, what is pro wrestling? I think you show them the Stadium Stampede match, right? Yeah, it might be a little thing weird to show them, but especially in times like this... This is because that is professional wrestling. You know, it's a little hokey, it's a little weird at times, but at the same time, it's people. Everybody in that match loved their job. at that moment. Everyone in MS loved their job. I'll tell you, except
Sammy Guevara. Jesus Christ.
Yes, maybe except Sammy Guevara. Poor son of a bitch. Jesus,
again,
can
my favorite wrestler today, that poor son of a bitch.
That match was so great from everything they did with all the football innuendos, right? And the ability just to go all over the arena, and from having Tony Khan as the owner and doing all the stuff as with the Jaguars and even the cheerleaders and stuff like that. I'm not going to get too deep into it because you need to see it just to understand the full grasp of it. Just understand that once you see it, you can never unsee it. But then again, there's a bunch of some stuff was hokey. Like the stuff with Matt Hardy was a little bit hokey. I thought that was a little weird.
It was.
I thought that was a little odd. The stuff with the horse. Yes, there was a horse. Yeah, that was a little odd. A little hokey. But then at the same time, I feel like everything everybody did made sense to their character. Yeah. Right? I love that match. I love that match so much. The TNT Championship match, I have to knock the pay-per-view a little bit for that because I thought it was a little odd. Mike Tyson looked like he wasn't all there. He yawned once throughout the match. The belt looked terrible. The belt looks so bad. Oh, my God. With the red strap and the silver plates, it looks like Tag Team Championships on Raw. It looks like freaking Nichols.
One of my notes is the TNT Championship is clapped. That's just what it says.
Yeah, it's really bad. They said they're gonna gold plate it. I guess that improves it some way, shape, or form, because the AEW Championship belt, which I'll talk about in a little bit, it's beautiful. It's freaking amazing. One of the best belts in professional wrestling right now. Yeah, it's one of the best belts of champions in wrestling right now. But that TNT belt is just so bad. It is just so bad. And is it the right thing that Cody won? Yeah, you know, he can do pretty much whatever he wants. I can't really question him because AEW has got nothing but up. You know, and for them to be able to compete with WWE in some way, shape, or form. Even if it is against NXT, for them to be able to compete, it really speaks volumes. But yeah, that match was a little weird for me.
I
would have liked to see more interaction with Arn Anderson, and I guess you could say agree with the result. Either way, I would have been fine whoever won.
I think
the MJF. Yeah.
Because let me tell you why.
Okay.
Lance Archer is a world champion contender. You do not look at him and you think mid-card championship. That guy is built to contend.
Yeah, but then again, it's a brand new belt.
It's a brand new belt.
It doesn't matter if it's a mid-card belt. It's a brand new belt.
That's true.
And that just gets you over right away.
That is true.
That's how I see it. It gets you over right away.
That is true, but I couldn't. I don't know where Lance Archer would go from there. I think it makes more sense, especially since Cody is not allowed to challenge for the world title. I think Cody winning is the absolute right thing. And it, because a member of the Elite were never the first champions of anything. So I think it's cool that one of them got something. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So and plus, again, Lance Archer as the TNT champion. Like, it's named after the network that the shows air on, and you want to give it to this monstrous individual with this sadistic manager. I think the right guy won this match. Maybe the match itself wasn't fantastic. I haven't really even seen it. But
there's some camera point of views that make you say, wow, like, that was pretty crazy. Some point of views of that match wasn't bad. Wasn't bad at all. I think there's some things here that Mike Tyson was weird. I just thought he was weird. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. He took his shirt off at one point.
Yeah.
He almost fought Jake Roberts. So it was weird. Moving on. MJF versus Jungle Boy. Stole the night. Stole it. What a freaking match. Oh my God. MJF tweeted later saying, oh, MJ, like in the SpongeBob up and down uppercase lowercase voice. I'll try to run through this quick, run out of time. Uppercase lowercase voice. He's like, oh, MJF could only do promos. BS, dude. This guy killed it. Jungle Boy killed it. I'm still not a big fan of the Marco Stunt stuff. I don't know. For me, for me, it just, I don't know. I just don't like it. Like this, it's just not a me thing. It's just not a me thing. For some people, they love it, and they love it. Jungle Boy, I love. I think he did great. And so did MJF. That match stole the night. So awesome what they did there. From the storytelling to just the straight wrestling in general. The pure wrestling was awesome. And the actual championship match itself, John Moxley versus Brody Lee, Jesus! That's freaking tear down tear down all of Daily Place, why don't you, man? That was they used all of the space that you could, right? And, you know, I thought they were going to save using space like that for the Stadium Stampede match. But screw me. They used every part of the Daily Space possible. And they were throwing people into the sets and throwing people into the timekeepers area and even into the chairs a little bit back there. I think they did an awesome job with that match as well. And John Moxley came out in this huge, huge jacket for his entrance. And from what I'm reading later, he said that he hated wearing it because it was so hot. But I loved it. I thought it was cool. But I understand if it's hot as hell, you know, you don't have to wear it. It's okay. But that jacket was awesome. So I think in total, and the women's matches were great too. Dude, the only thing against, I guess I could say, the pay-per-view was the belt. And the ladder match, I sort of thought was weird. I love the Orange Cassidy stuff. You know, in the beginning, I wasn't a fan of him, but now I am. I don't know, I'm a weird guy. I was back and forth with him in the beginning.
Orange Cassidy and, is amazing. I love him.
And we have a new debut of Brian Cage, who was with Impact Wrestling, and now he is with AEW. And this guy just looks like he's $1 million. He's the biggest guy, muscle-wise, I think, in the company. Bigger than your boy Ted. Dude, this guy is freaking jacked. Like,
he's massive.
Like muscles on muscles on muscles. Like, yes. You think, like, SpongeBob anchor arms? Like, it's like that. Like, jacked. And the whole, he has the $1 million look, and he won the ladder match, and now he's going to have a match against John Moxley at Fighter Fest. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, Fighter Fest. That's so sick.
Yeah, Fighter Fest.
That's going to be so sick. I'm a huge fan of Brian Cage. He was with who? Lucha Underground, rest in peace. He was a big star there. He was awesome.
He was there, and then he was with Impact for a while. And he's been all over.
He has been all over.
But now, I'm glad to see. He came out with Taz, too, and which is a nice touch.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. We got to move it.
Okay. I just want to say a couple notes about Stadium Stampede. I thought I cackled out loud when the Jacksonville Jaguars mascot pelvic thrusted at Chris Jericho, and Jericho gave him the Judas effect, which is so funny. And then there was a shot of Adam Page's horse, and in the background you could hear everyone chanting, "Horse, horse, horse, horse,
horse."
I laughed out loud at that too.
That was great.
The AEW talent know what makes a good show, and that includes crowd reactions. Everybody in that company is brilliant. All right.
Yep.
To finish the show, it's the second installment of the Gimmick Hall of Fame. Jaden, as the previous winner, you will go first.
Yes, R-Truth, once again, welcome to the Hall of Fame. All right, I'm going to pick another legendary. This time it's a tag team, right? AEW has done a great job with tag teams. And WWE is going to need to step up their stuff soon because AEW has almost kicked them to the curb when it comes to tag team wrestling, right?
This is a fact.
I'm going to give it to the Road Warriors, right? Because I know that's a really big name, and maybe when we do this Gimmick Hall of Fame, I think we look at lesser names, but I think we need to start off big if we're going to talk about tag teams, right? We need to talk about the Road Warriors because they really define what it means to be a tag team, right? They gel together so well, and they have almost a perfect gimmick for their time, man. The freaking shoulder pads coming out. Oh, what a rush, right? And the red shoulder pads and the face paint with the crazy haircuts with the mohawk and then the double mohawk with Animal and Hawk. If you haven't watched the Vice Dark Side of the Ring on the Road Warriors, you have to watch it. Maybe the best one they did, besides the Macho Man Randy Savage one, is good. So is the gorgeous Gino. It's both are great. Everything they do is great over there. Vice with their stuff. Fabulous Moolah one is they're good. I'll stop with the plugs. But hey, Road Warriors Hall of Fame. Only one. They were in the WWE for a little bit. They were known as the Legion of Doom. They only won two championships there with the WWE. But they are not known for being with the WWE. They are known for being literally everywhere else but the WWE, from Japan to WCW to wherever you want to call it, wherever you want to do it. And call them. They literally could never be duplicated. Only looked at as legends because they've been duplicated many, many times.
The Doomsday device has been used by every tag team ever since then. They're absolute pioneers of double team maneuvers.
Maybe the greatest tag team of all time.
Ooh.
That's my pick, Road Warriors. Who you got? Who you got, Andrew? I want to hear it. I hope you come. I hope you pick a good one.
Well,
this
if
week.
We're talking about, you know, face paint, you know, weird outlandish gimmicks, mohawks, I'll give you a hint on who this guy is. He might or might not be under your bed, maybe your closet.
Oh no! You did not just pick this guy. Against the Road Warriors.
Is the Boogeyman, and he's gonna get you.
Oh my god! Oh my.
You want to talk about a gimmick? A gimmick to its finest. You take a, you know, every wrestling federation needs its wild outlandish character, and it does not get more wild and outlandish than the fucking Boogeyman. He doesn't have a list of accomplishments. He's the goddamn Boogeyman. I don't know. What do you want me to say? I don't have a stat about how many kids he's scared, but it's probably a lot. He's scared. The concept of him has scared millions of children all over the world. He has an unreal win-loss record in that regard, I guess, if we're talking accomplishments. But yeah, I picked the Boogeyman. So
you can't believe you picked the freaking Boogeyman.
So
I will never forget. I forget what SmackDown versus Raw it was, but you put in a cheat code and you get him. You get the Boogeyman. You get to play as him, and that's one memory that I'll never forget from it. And also one of the Road to WrestleMania.
Yes, I was gonna say.
Was like,
it was the Road
character
to WrestleMania,
those,
and it was the fucking Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match. Yeah. You play as the Undertaker, and the Boogeyman had this alliance with like Finley and some other dude. Because, again, wrestling doesn't have to make sense. And it was the Undertaker in this massive build against the Boogeyman. So, that is why. What were you going to say?
No, that is one hell of a... Yeah, you look at that match, I wonder how people are going to vote. You know, you look at those two. Because Road Warriors, it may be the greatest tag team of all time. In my opinion, maybe the greatest of all time, hands down, without a shadow of a doubt, right? Compared to the nostalgic...
This is the gimmick Hall of Fame we're talking about. This isn't the wrestling.
But that gimmick for the Road Warriors is so iconic. Like, you'll never forget. Like, you look at that face paint and you look at those haircuts and those shoulder pads, man. Dude,
do you remember the shoulder pads?
I remember that he carried around a staff and he ate worms.
Oh yeah, dude, the smoking staff. This is
and he smashed the clock over his head every time.
This is an icon. This is a big matchup this week, ladies and gentlemen. And if you
this
want
is a
to
really
vote,
big
if you want to vote, head over to Twitter at 1306 Sports. If you're not doing that, you're doing life wrong. And that's gonna wrap it up for today's episode, the second episode of the 1306 Live podcast. Brought to you by 1306 Sports. Follow 1306 Sports at 1306 Sports on Instagram and Twitter. Also follow at 1306 FC and at 1306 Gridiron. And we kind of messed up. We were supposed to make a wrestling account on 1306, and we didn't. And we'll figure that out another time. You'll know when it happens. You'll know. It's coming. Be patient. All two of you listening. It's okay.
We're sorry, this is a very long podcast. I don't know why it's a minute and 5 minutes. 1 hour and 5 minutes.
It's because we have a lot to say. It's fine. All right, but have
it was a long week.
It has been a long week. But, Jaden, any parting words for the people?
Stay safe. They're coming near the end of this COVID crisis. Stay safe, especially in the Northeast area. Mm. We're almost done. It's going to be a great summer, and it's going to be a great summer for wrestling. So
exactly.
Stay ready.
On that topic, if you live in Montgomery County, Maryland, stay the fuck indoors. I want to go to fucking Lido Pizza and sit down. We're nowhere close. Stay inside and have a fantastic day. Enjoy yourselves in a bit. Hasta la vista.